Welcome everyone back to the second series on Are You From Venus, Mars or Sinai? I'm still a bit nervous about this topic, I have to tell you. So, but we've all got to try new things as we're going to discuss today. Today's specific topic is male and female personal growth. But what we're going to do is spend the first part of today's session just reviewing a little bit from last week and giving some examples to clarify, just to solidify and make sure we understand and clear what we've been doing. And then just to review the important introductions that we established last week, and then take the first step in applying the theory, the male and female theory, to life experiences and see today and over the next few weeks how that plays out in the various life experiences. So let's try and review a little bit what we've been talking about till now. Last week we established that the divine design of creation began with an energy that was both male and female. To the point that I mentioned last week that there's a midrashic view that the first human being was in fact a combination of two faces, male and female, and was only split sort of later on. So the essence, the foundation of creation begins with an entity that has both male and female aspects to it, which God then split into two distinct components for the purpose of highlighting each one, right? For the purpose of emphasizing and highlighting each one, so that we begin to appreciate the value and the importance and the critical contribution of each component specifically, male and female. And the goal, however, is the intention was then to merge them back together. That's why the ultimate of relationships is marriage, because and you know, it's interesting that under a chuppah, we talk a lot about the seven blessings, the Sheva Brachos that we talk about under a chuppah, for the first, the seven blessings, right? For the first few blessings, we actually don't even talk about marriage. We talk about the creation of the human being. And we go we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Because marriage is the coming together of the two components, which really was the essence of creation to begin with, and the ultimate goal is when they merge together. But marriage is only a goal. In other words, it's only a model, sorry. And as we spoke about last week, that all life experiences have to then create this combination between male and female. So the goal then was to merge them together using both powers, the powers of male, the powers of female. Which means, in our own growth and our own development as human beings, not just to recognize the differences, as John Gray suggests in the book of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. His theory is that it's sufficient and important, which is correct, to recognize those differences, differences in communication, differences in handling stress, differences of reaction to various life experiences, but it's much deeper than that. It's really about using or learning to appreciate, learning to access within ourselves both components, both powers, the power of male and the power of female. Because as we said, really everyone and everything in the world, in the creation, in the universe, has both powers, has both components. Not just relationships. In other words, experiences, objects, everything in the world is dominated by one, male or female, but really contains both. And contains both because that's where it all began. It began by one single entity, one single energy. And therefore, everything and everyone contains both, and everyone needs to learn not just to use the dominant energy, not just to use the dominant personality or the dominant disposition, but to learn to use that which is not dominant. So if someone's dominant personality is male, to learn to use the female. If someone is female, to learn to use the male. As we said, and I'll probably remind you every so often, just so I'm never accused of generalizing, we're not necessarily only talking about men and women. Generally, men, their dominant personality is male, and women, their dominant personality is female, but it's not always true. You have many men who have a lot of female components, and vice versa. And also within one within one person, in certain aspects of life, the male comes out, and certain aspects of life, the female comes out. So it's not quite as clear cut. So we're more talking about masculinity and femininity. It's just when we give examples, it's always clearer and normally funnier to talk about the way men and women react with each other, right? Now, the purpose of learning to use both is this. There's a Kabbalistic concept, a Kabbalistic idea that when God created the universe, when God created the world, there's a Kabbalistic idea that the world works on many, many different layers. Meaning, it's not just the physical world that we live in here, but this physical world reflects many, many layers of spiritual entities and spiritual realities that come, that precede the physical existence. And in Kabbalah we are taught that when God created the world, there was a whole evolutionary process of worlds and realms and layers that eventually and ultimately resulted in the creation of the physical world. And what they teach is that the very first level of creation was a spiritual world called Tohu, translated in English as chaos, the world of chaos. So if you want to know why sometimes life is very chaotic, it's rooted somewhere in the world of chaos. What is this world of chaos, and why is it called the world of chaos? Because we are taught that when God created the world, He brought forth and He created the 10 powers of creation, primarily the 7 emotional powers, which are not only the powers that govern our existence, but in fact, it's the powers that govern all of existence. All of existence was created by God using the 7 emotional powers of Chesed, Gevurah, and those things we've talked about in the past. But what He did was to highlight each one and to make sure that each one is brought out and created properly first with its proper energy and its proper properties. He created first a world where every one of these powers were kept separate and very intensely exclusive. In other words, very intensely restricted to that particular disposition without any level of inclusion. So the power of Chesed was only Chesed and had no tolerance for Gevurah, right? Chesed is kindness, Gevurah is discipline. The right, the left, the middle, etc. The power of Gevurah, which is discipline, judgment, severity, all those things that are associated with Gevurah, was very intensely Gevurah and had no tolerance for Chesed. Now the purpose of creating such an existence was because, like I said, initially things have to be created in isolation so that they're highlighted and they're properly discovered and properly accessed. But the reason that world is called the world of chaos is because such an existence cannot really survive. And there's a Kabbalistic concept of Shvirat HaKelim, that the vessels broke, whatever that means spiritually. But it means that world didn't survive. That world was an existence of total chaos. And therefore the next level of creation was an existence which we call Tikkun. Tikkun means to rectify. And rectify means where God, then it evolved into an existence where the various forces, the various energies merge with each other and integrate and start cooperating and working with each other, and only then you can have a successful existence. The reason that I bring that in is because that creates a great model for us understanding these two powers, the male and the female. Because it's the same thing. Everything in existence has both male and female. They were separated at the beginning of creation to highlight each one, and therefore they're so different, and they need to be recognized and appreciated as each one being separate and different. However, not to result in a chaotic existence, it becomes imperative and it becomes important for us to learn how to actually access both and start learning how the male and the female need to interact with each other, not only as two separate people, but within ourselves as well. Is that clear? Okay. So that was the first concept that we established last week with this clarification. The second is that I want to just review the definition of male and female as we summarized it last week. The summary of what we spoke about is this. We said that the male energy, just for the purpose of review and also for those who weren't here last week, just to make it very clear again, the male energy is the ability, right, to create sparks, infinite sparks of potential. Okay, so a male creates something new, but that newness is only potential. It's short-lived, it's intense, it has infinite potential, or there are infinite sparks of potential. But the male does not have the ability to hold on to one of those sparks, to nurture it, to develop it, to process it, and to make something actually happen from that potential. Right? So the male aspect is the creation, the conception of something new. But that newness is very potential. The female component, however, on the other hand, is the ability to take something that's already there, a potential that has already been created, hold on to it, nurture it, develop it, cultivate it from all different perspectives, from all different sides, process it. It's the idea of processing and developing it into something that's actually functional and can be used, and that's like a new creation. And as we said, the mystical idea is that everything in the physical reflects its spiritual reality, and of course that we know that in the physical level of marriage, that in fact is how a child is born. The male contribution is short-lived, its potential is infinite. The female is the gestation period, the cultivating, the nurturing, until a child is actually formed. Now, all the differences between male and female, that we can talk about it from different angles, are all rooted in this idea. Right? That the male being creation of potential newness, the female being the cultivating of what's already there. In some Kabbalistic writings, we find that, as I said last week, that the male is a line and the woman is a circle. Male is a line and female is a circle. A line means it's got to go from one point to another and it finishes. In other words, it's something new, it's not here anymore, it's something elsewhere, it's from here to here. You've got to get somewhere, you've got to get to a new destination. You don't go back to where you were, you've got to come to something that wasn't there before, and then it ends. That's the male. The female component is circular. Right? You don't go from one point to another, you come back to where you were. You cultivate. It's circular and it's infinite, it never ends, because you cultivate and nurture where you are already. Same idea. We said another, and I saw described the concept of male being lightning and female being gravity. Same sort of idea. We also find that male and female is described as the difference between conquering and cultivating. The male energy is one of conquering. A male, and very often men, need to conquer. They need to take over something new. Right? They need to go into new territory. It's that ambition, that trait of conquest. But once they're there, there's not necessarily that cultivation that needs to take place to actually do something functional with that, where we've reached, where we've arrived. Whereas the female is the concept of not necessarily having to conquer, but cultivating and actually nurturing and developing where we are already. Okay. In one of John Gray's books, he talks about conflict between male and female, and he talks about complaints and how men and women communicate. Now we're going to talk about communication at great length next week. Communication, male and female communication, is very important, and both have to learn to do both, which is often the problem. But we'll get to that. But when he talks about it, he talks about the various forms of complaints. And so it's interesting to analyze it from our definition to see how this works. For example, he has it on a table, and it's called complaints from Venus, complaints from Mars, right? So one of his examples is the complaints from Venus is, the only time he helps me is when I ask, why can't he just pitch in like me? Now, what do you think the male response to that would be? Anyone? Ah, thank you. She expects me to be a mind reader and know what she wants. Right? Sounds familiar? What's that? Oh, just tell me and I'll do it. That's right. That's right. The male needs new information. If the information is not there, it's not there. In other words, the male is not going to spend time analyzing the reality that's not there, or that is there already. Right? That's why intuition is not strongly male, right? Because the male doesn't spend time, he's not circular, he doesn't spend time trying to be in touch with what's already there. Now, if there's new information I didn't know, if the table is dirty, which I really have no idea, even though there's 45 dishes lying here, but how am I supposed to know, right?
Not your responsibility.
Kind of never registered and has anything to do with me. Yeah, no, I knew. I didn't mean me, I mean, of course, right? Even though I did. But
someone else's.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're talking about before we learned to express the female component, right? The typical male element, before he came to the shir. Right, we're going to talk about why men don't come to the shir in a second, but it's not only because it's a Thursday morning and they're working, there's other reasons. So the man does, he doesn't spend even a second trying to be in tune with what's already there. However, if I would know, if you tell me something I didn't know before, if you tell me new information and tell it to me quickly, I'll act on it also quickly. So the house is dirty, please pitch in. Oh, is it? I don't know. Okay, let's vacuum. For the woman, that's completely insensitive. What do you mean you didn't know? Like, I deliberately kept this secret from you the whole day that I'm stressed, but you don't know. Like, you're not in tune. You didn't actually explore this. You didn't analyze it. You didn't think about it. You didn't kind of try to read the body language. You didn't. I mean, right? But it comes from the same thing, because a man creates potential. A man creates newness. If it's not about creating newness, I'm out of here. Once the newness is being created, we're somewhere else. Or, naturally at least. The female wants you to go around in circles and actually, I don't mean that negatively, I mean in a positive way, to actually analyze, to cultivate, to nurture, to discover, to be in tune with. Right? That's what we talk about, motherly intuition. It's true. Female energy has much more intuition than a male does, right? Same sort of thing, you know, when I try to talk with him, this is another complaint. When I try to talk with him, he's either distracted or he continues to interrupt with solutions. Right? The male response to that is, when I take time to relax or spend time with my friends, he complains that we're not spending enough time together. See, the man doesn't understand that going shopping with his wife for 3 hours means they didn't spend any time together, because they didn't actually, on the clock, it was a lot of time. It was like an amazing amount of time. So like, I'm done now, right? I'm now finished. Right? And then some wives turn around and say, but you know, we're not spending any time today. What do you mean? Like on the clock, there were 3 hours. Away. Doesn't understand the language. Why? Because it's different language. Right? What the woman means is quality time, deep time, bonding time, connecting time, cultivating, nurturing, developing. To him, it's time that didn't exist before. It's new. I created 3 hours. Wow, that's an amazing amount of time. That was my donation for the year. You know, that kind of thing. So all these different things, all these different definitions, all these different expressions of male and female all come from this concept of creation of newness, creation of potential, versus cultivating and processing what is already there. Talked about shopping before, by the way. That's a great example. You ever saw a husband going shopping with his wife? You ever saw the men going shopping with the women? Either that, or they look like they're being dragged. You know, like, you kind of written all over the face is like, when is this going to be over? They come back, it's like they exhaust, they need 4 naps, like as if they've been working for the last, it's like they've been bricklaying, you know, like they're so tired, right? And it's almost, you know, unless kind of a Starbucks store that comes along very quickly, you might die, you know, that kind of thing, right? Why is that? Well, you think men don't like to shop? Of course they do. But a man shops completely different than a woman shops, I think, right? Oh, yeah. Again, I told you this is dangerous territory. Men, I'm not talking about men again, I mean men who are male, right? So,
a real man,
yeah. A real man shops in a linear way. He's got a destination. He needs X, flies in, gets it, flies out. Right? Yeah, that's true. Except, of course, no, that's when he's shopping for you. No, of course, because, you see, when he's shopping for you, what happens is you told him to buy something. What you meant was that he'd take that word something and he'd now analyze it. That you didn't really mean the can that was that size. You actually meant something a bit smaller, a bit bigger. And you meant that if you should use a bit of brains, that if you can't find that brand, you should look for a different brand. And he comes and says, well, it wasn't there, what should he do? Because he needs a fact. You need to tell him. It's this one, right? I mean, I have this all the time, right? Unless I get it specifically, exactly what, right? The shopping, the female shopping is very different. You know, the shopping is an end in itself. You cultivate, you look, you compare, you walk around, it's different, right? Okay. I better move on before I get into real trouble. But as I said, yeah, it's okay. You know, shopping, it's okay to remain that way. But in general life experiences, we really have to learn to do both. I want to bring you an example, just to clarify and to really emphasize the whole idea, from something spiritual. We know that, I'll give you an example. On Shabbat, on Friday night, when we have a Friday night meal, a Shabbat meal, it's very interesting that although everyone participates in the same process, but there are actually different roles that in most houses are assigned to the men and assigned to the women. Both can do both. In fact, both have to do both in the absence of the other. And I'll soon explain what that means. But we find traditionally, for example, that a woman lights candles. That's the woman's mitzvah, to light candles on Friday night, or just before Shabbat comes in. And the man makes kiddush. Now, you'll soon understand why kiddush is a male thing and lighting candles is a female thing. But here's a perfect example of actually that everyone has both, because it's not that lighting candles is only a woman's mitzvah and kiddush is only a man's mitzvah. It's actually completely untrue. Halachically, both men and women are obligated to light candles. The preference is given to the woman. In other words, if there's men and women in the house, so then women are given the mitzvah. When women travel and there's only men in the house, and there's Shabbat and the man's going to remain alone for Shabbat, then the man has to light candles, because there has to be candles in the house. So in other words, the man just has to do the female mitzvah that day, because his mitzvah as well. And the reverse is true with regard to making kiddush. Making kiddush is, the preference is the man, if there's a man and a woman, so the man makes kiddush. But if there's no man, then the woman makes kiddush. Right, so here you have a perfect example. Actually, both apply to both. However, the preference is given to the woman with the lighting candles and kiddush for the man. Why is that? Because spiritually, kiddush and lighting candles are actually two very different and distinct spiritual experiences. What is kiddush? Kiddush is a recitation of verses, of blessings, of spiritual formulas. Well, what you do is you sanctify the Shabbos. Now, let's understand what's happening here. You sanctify the Shabbos by reciting the words of Kiddush. And when you recite the words of Kiddush, you introduce from the world of the spiritual, from the holiness of the Torah and its verses, introduce a new energy into the time and into the home. Okay? What it is, it's bringing something from outside into the environment where we are. So we have the Shabbos table. We need to bring something new into the Shabbos table. We make kiddush. We recite those holy words. The holiness of the words introduce that new energy into the environment. Okay. Lighting candles is actually very different. Lighting candles is actually not about introducing a new or a holy energy into the home. Lighting candles is transforming and illuminating what is already there. It's creating an atmosphere. It's creating the atmosphere of light, the atmosphere of Shabbat, the atmosphere of holiness. Meaning what it's doing is, it's actually nurturing the environment, turning already what's already there. The candles are physical, the flame is physical, the match is physical. It's turning what's already there into something different. You see that? That's why kiddush is quite a male process, because it's about introducing something that's not physical, something spiritual, something new into the physical environment. Whereas lighting candles is about nurturing the environment. It's about creating the atmosphere. It's much more circular. It's about creating what is already there that wasn't illuminated before. It's about creating a spirit of harmony. In fact, the Talmud says one of the reasons we light candles, first of all, is to respect the Shabbos, but it's also, it goes all the way back to the times where there was no electricity, and therefore sitting around in the dark, because on Shabbos itself you're not supposed to light electricity or candles, so therefore it goes back to the time where if you wouldn't light candles just before Shabbos comes in, there would be not a very harmonious existence. People would bump into each other, not be able to see what they're eating, etc. So therefore it creates harmony. But it creates harmony where we are. In other words, it's nurturing, it's cultivating, it's elevating and transforming and illuminating the environment where we are already present. Okay. Whereas kiddush is different. Kiddush is introducing a new energy. So we see that kiddush is a very sort of male experience, whereas lighting candles is a female experience. But yeah.
When priests of Arabim, when they make the kiddush, they say the Asian Hayil. Has that got anything to do with the male and female component? Or?
Actually, not really. It sounds like it does, but it actually doesn't. Eishet Chayil, which everyone says for the Ashkenazim too, Eishet Chayil actually is a reference to the Torah, really. It's talking about the Torah, yeah. So, in discussion of who makes Kiddush and who makes lighting candles, someone once had this discussion, and one of the questions were, so then whose role is it to wash the dishes afterwards? The answer is both. But they probably do it very differently.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happens, right? Okay. Now let's move on. So those are the definitions between male and female. That's a male definition and a female definition. Now, what I want to explore now is, let's take this definition, these two definitions, the male and the female, and try and apply it to one of life's experiences. What I'm going to start with, as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how male and female use the energies to handle stress, to communicate, to process cognition, to do all sorts of different types of life experiences. But for now, let's talk about a general thing of the concept of growth, the concept of growing and developing as a human being. In the last 5 years, I've spent a lot of time sort of trying to research and understand and explore Jewish sources that deal with the concept of growing as a human being, personal development and personal growth, right? And I, as you know, I'm very passionate about it, and I always feel it's a tremendous need. It's a tremendous need for a number of reasons. It's a tremendous need, first of all, because a human being must grow. That's part of who we are. We're imperfect. We're born imperfect. The Talmud says that God created an imperfect world and an imperfect human being for the purpose of us refining it, nurturing it, and developing it. Right? As human beings, we have this incredible potential to go beyond our comfort level, to intrinsically change, to really accomplish. It just needs to be discovered. It needs to be developed. And that's the whole process of understanding the perspective on growing as a human being, not just doing the right thing, but actually growing, right? And also, I think when it comes to Jewish sources, there's a misconception very often that Jewish literature is all about how do you do the rituals? How do you keep kosher? How do you shake a lulav? How do you light candles? Now, of course, it includes all of that, but it's much broader, right? And the Torah and its teachings are all about, the Torah is referred to as a Torah Chayim, a Torah of life. In other words, the Torah has what to say and has a tremendous amount to offer on this whole concept of character development and refining our personality and growing as a human being and really working on ourselves and developing and nurturing our whole personality growth. That's why I've sort of taken that as a bit of a focus and explored the verse. But what I've discovered is a very interesting thing, that there's certainly no question that in doing that, the response has been overwhelming, mainly for women. Right. The women, the experiences, are much more willing and open and passionate about the whole concept of personal growth. I've then went elsewhere and sort of tried to explore that, whether that's true statistically all over, and discovered that it's absolutely true. That women are much more willing to do this, women are much more willing to explore these concepts, are much more open to the whole idea of hearing about anger management and self-esteem and all the things that we've been talking about over the last few years, right?
Women are much more adaptable.
Right, okay. That's probably true, but we have to know why, right? I mean, I don't know if you've ever had this experience when you had children in school. Have you ever been asked to come to a parenting lecture? Mm-hmm. Amazing thing. You go to a parenting lecture almost always. I've both attended and given one, and given many. And normally you'll see that 75-80% of the crowd are women. And of the 20% of men that are there, there's different reactions. Some are clearly there because they've been dragged there. Some actually had no idea what the topic was before they came. And you see that. You see the attitude very often that they come in. It's sort of with attitude, like they either come in talking on their mobile phone as if I don't really belong here, You walk over them to welcome them. They said, they give you a bit of a laugh. I've had this experience. They give you a bit of a laugh and say, oh, I wasn't actually even sure what the topic is. My wife said it would be a good idea to come. All this kind of stuff. We had this experience mostly was in New York. New Yorkers are very much like this. A colleague of mine, a friend of mine, asked me to do the Flatbush. She asked me to do a parenting lecture when I was there once. And I went. It was a nice crowd. And it was incredible to see the men and the women walk in. Like, all the women dragged their husbands there. It was clear. These were like, you know, the men were ambitious, young, professional businessmen that had very little interest in something as trivial as parenting. I mean, you know, those unimportant stuff can really be left to other people to deal with. And you know, jokes, cynicism. Thank God we managed to, during the process, we managed to win some of them over. Not all of them, but some of them saw the importance and saw the relevance. But it is an incredible thing that the female energy seems to be much more open to this whole process of anything to do with development, whether it's parenting, whether it's self-esteem, whether it's personality modification, whether it's behavior modification. All this stuff seems to be much more in the female group. And one has to really understand why. Not all men are against changing, right? And certainly if you ask them if parenting is important to them, none of them would say that it's not important. They all would say that it's critical. Some would actually mean it, right? Not all. Right? So why is it that women seem to be much more focused on this concept? Men want to improve. Everyone wants to improve. Everyone wants to become better. Just they don't seem to have a head for it. They don't seem to have a focus for it. Why is that? Because personal growth is about cultivation. That's what it is. Right? It's not that the men are against it. Not that the male is against it. Personal growth is about not going somewhere else. It's actually about staying where you are. Personal growth is about developing the personality that I have. It's about analyzing and diagnosing the character personalities and the traits and the components of my personality that God gave me and He created me with. Right? It's about confronting and modifying my deficits. It's about nurturing my strengths. That's what it is. Personal growth takes an amazing amount of ability to stay where you are and to develop it and to be circular and to talk about it from all different perspectives and to understand the issues and to understand the nuances and to understand what is it that triggers my anger. I need to understand it. For that you have to reflect. It takes an amazing amount of reflection. Reflection is a very female trait. Right? It takes an amazing amount of analysis. Takes an amazing amount of what the Talmud refers to as bina, which is in-depth understanding, reflection. We'll talk about chokhmah and bina in a few weeks. Right. The men or the male component find that very difficult to do, because tell me the problem and let's fix it. Like, what are you dragging me a cup for? Like, what are we going on and on and on in circles for? Is there a problem? Let's fix it. But the problem is that personality issues are very complex. Refining our character is very difficult. It's very, very complicated. And it's not like it's a problem, let's fix it. It's not a broken shelf. You don't just take a screwdriver and screw it in. It doesn't work like that. Personality is a whole different dimension. It's about really understanding. You need reflection. You need cultivating. You need to be able willing to take small steps at a time. You need to be able to take steps and then step back and have setbacks and then move along and understand the strengths, understand the weaknesses, understand how they work together, understand different sides of the personality and how they can cooperate with each other. You need to understand all those layers. It needs to be intertwined. It needs to be integrated. It needs to be cultivated and nurtured and properly analyzed. So it's a very, very female thing.
Isn't running a business like that, men can build a business, but not a personal thing?
Men don't always do it in business. That's why we find in the business world there's a famous problem of people who have tremendous ideas, who are great, tremendous, but they can't actually implement them.
That's why we have wars.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Only when they got the country, they don't know what to do.
Okay, let's not go there. Okay. Right. Of course, when it comes to business, it's a good observation. When it comes to business, that's why there is so much out there to provide for people who run businesses, things on time management and business management and who knows, you know, all these seminars. And of course, when it comes to business and the goal is to make money, and that's an important goal, and you have to get there, you know, it becomes relevant all of a sudden, right? Because it's very concrete. However, although this is true, and although it appears that women in this regard are a great advantage, so to speak, it's actually not that it's not that simple. What we're going to discover in the next few moments is this, that in personal growth, there's actually a male and female component, that both are absolutely necessary. And that there's actually a danger in being totally female about personal development, which is less obvious than the total disaster of being totally male about it. Okay? Why? Because although personal growth is a long process using female energy of circular reflection and analysis and in-depth thinking, but it also requires newness, right? It also requires new solutions. It also requires out-of-the-box creativity. It also requires that whole energy of ambition and thinking about something totally different, totally aggressive, totally way out there and wild. Okay. Which is a very male thing. In other words, the danger of being totally female about personal growth is that although it's wonderful to have that ability to think and to work and to focus on my strengths and my weaknesses and my personality and the reasons and the causes and you know, etc., etc., but there's also a danger of doing that to a point where you get totally stuck in the cycle and you actually don't actually grow. That's the irony of it. I had a story of someone that came to ask me something. It happened to be a male, actually, but he was very female about the process. And it was a big, big life decision. And it was a big life decision about whether he should do something now or do it in 6 months from now. And it made a tremendous difference. The ramifications are relevant, of course, but it was a very, very complex thing. And sometimes, you know, when you go to someone that's objective and you go to someone on the outside, the picture changes somewhat. And actually, what was very clear to me is that he should not do it, not now, not in 6 months from now, because it was not a good thing for him to do altogether. So I try to shift the question. The question was not whether you do it now or do it in 6 months. Now the question is whether you do it all together. And spoke at length, and worked it through for half an hour, he appeared to be nodding, he appeared to be taking it all in. It was obviously my problem because I wasn't into it enough to know that it actually wasn't happening. And appeared to be having an intelligent and logical discussion. And at the end of the whole thing, he says to me, "So what's your opinion? Should I do it now or do it in 6 months?" Right. Never left the box, never left the circle. Right. And this is the danger about being, there's no question that the whole area of character development and personal growth has been adopted and accepted much more by female than by male. But what we all have to understand is, now males really need to understand this, of course, and this is the big problem, that parenting is critical and it's going to take some time. And for the men, it's going to require a huge jump, and it's going to require accessing. They cannot just say to their daughters or to their wives or to their mother, "Just tell me what I've got to do and that's fine. Like, tell me where to sign the report card." That's just not good enough, because in the case of parenting, for example, it needs the input of both. And in the case of relationships, it needs the input of both. You cannot just rely on one or the other. And everyone has to pitch in and participate in modifying and developing their character. Every relationship is going to have that. Right. In relationships, it's very, very, very much that way. That's part of the problem, right? Very often in male and female relationships, very often it does happen that the females are ready and accepting and open to doing things differently and to growing and to modifying the way they relate and communicate and manage their anger and manage conflict, etc., etc. And the male is totally not interested. But so therefore, on the male part of it, it's very clear, we can see very clearly how it's important for them to access their female component, their female energy, and to learn to do that. To learn to reflect, to learn to think, to learn to discuss, to learn to communicate, and to learn to engage in that whole process of personal growth. So that's clear when it comes to men. What's less clear and more subtle is the female challenge. And the female challenge is that the women or the females who are so focused and so entrenched in this whole process in a very healthy way of growing as human beings need to understand, however, that they sometimes need to take a step back and invite the concept of newness, a new creation, into the formula, and then nurture and develop that new creation. Let me bring it out to you in a different way, in a spiritual concept that was taught by one of the great Hasidic rabbis of the Gera Hasidim called the Sfas Emes. You know that currently, I'm not sure everyone's aware, but currently we're in a time of the Jewish calendar called Sefirat HaOmer, the Omer period. The Omer period is the time between Pesach and Shavuot, and it's 7 weeks. It's when we count each day, we count 7 weeks. And it's known as a time of the year of personal growth. That's what it is. Why are there 7 weeks? Why do we have 7 weeks? Because the 7 weeks of the Omer represent the seven emotions that govern our existence. And we once had a whole session during this time of the year a few years ago. We went through each emotion in great detail. Right? That's seven. That's the number seven. The reason that there's 7 weeks, not 7 days, however, is because the emotions, the parts of our personality, the sources of our personality, which is all governed by these seven powers, are actually very, very complex and complicated, and they subdivide. They subdivide, each one subdivides into seven, right? So for example, you've got the concept of chesed, which is compassion and kindness. You've got pure compassion called chesed of chesed. That's the first day. The second day, you've got discipline of chesed. In other words, it's how you learn to combine the concept of discipline together with chesed, because chesed, compassion, love, if we know if it's pure and it's intense, it can actually be a disaster. It can go all over the place, and you can be too open and too compassionate and too loving and smother and kill and suffocate, right? So therefore one needs to learn how to combine discipline together with chesed, combine ambition, combine humility. So each one of these seven emotions subdivide into seven, and you've got the 7 weeks. Each week represents one of these seven emotions, and each day represents the particular subdivision of that emotion. Very, very complex process. Of course, personal growth is not limited to 7 weeks of the year, but it's these 7 weeks of the year that create the model of personal development. So what we can already see, right, what we can already see from this process is how complex it is. It's not 7 days, it's not 7 minutes, it's 7 weeks, because there's 49 levels, 49 aspects of our personality that we've got to work through and develop and refine and nurture. That's very, very complicated. It requires amazing amount of reflection and analysis and in-depth commitment, etc. It's a very female process. What's interesting, however, is that the Sfas Emes points out, when does this process begin? It begins specifically, according to the Chumash Kohen of the Torah, on the second day of Pesach. Not the first. It begins the second day of Pesach. Meaning you have the first day of Passover, the first day of Pesach, followed by the mitzvah of counting these 49 days. When you get to the end of the 49 days, we're now ready for the next festival, the festival of Shavuot. And the Torah is very emphatic about this. The Torah says you must start, it doesn't even say to start on the 16th of the month of Nisan, which is the day we start. It says you must start the day after the beginning of Pesach. It's with emphasis. The day after the beginning of Pesach. Why is it a day after the beginning? Why is it so important to talk about the day after the beginning of Pesach? So he says like this. What is Pesach? We've talked about this many times. Pesach is when we celebrate the Exodus from Egypt. Pesach is the festival where we are given the gift of freedom, of being free. Being free means, as we know and we've discussed many times, being free means the ability to go beyond ourselves. Being free means the ability not to be locked within ourselves. Being free means the ability to completely look at something completely different and not to be bound at all by the way I'm normally disposed at looking at a certain situation. Being free means the ability to discover a part of my soul that is fresh, that is new, that is completely different, that is ambitious, that is aggressive even, in a positive way. To go to someplace else that I've never been at, to go to a level, to encounter an experience that is completely novel, completely something completely different that I've done before. Right? Says the Sfas Emes, that's why the counting of the Omer begins the second day of Pesach. Because the first step to personal development, the first step to personal growth is the male aspect. The male aspect is introduce newness, introduce be fresh, be ready to go completely out of the box, be ready to look at this thing from a completely different view, be ambitious. See, ambition is not a circular thing. Ambition is very male. Why? Because ambition means I don't want to nurture what I've got. Ambition means I want to go to something new. The problem is with ambitious people, we know, that they always go into something new and never get settled. They never ground where they are. Right? That's the downside of ambition. But ambition also means you have to go someplace you haven't gone. Right? So, first we need to have the first day of Pesach. The first day of Pesach is the male component. It's short-lived, it's quick, it's only one day, because that's the male component. It's new potential, something new, it's a new gift. It's a taste of freedom, it's a taste of ambition, it's the commitment and the resolve to go to a completely different level, a completely different height. And then you can begin the 7 weeks of intense female cultivation and nurturing of personal growth. So here's an example of a life experience where actually one of those energies, one of the components, male or female, is simply not sufficient. It must be a combination, a marriage between the male and the female. To really grow as a human being, there's got to first be that male commitment, that male newness, and there's got to be the ongoing commitment to nurturing and cultivating. One without the other simply won't work. Sometimes when someone is so open to personal growth, they get so stuck, and I've met a lot of people like this, that they get so stuck in analyzing and being analytical and being reflective, but they are such stuck human beings, they just never go anywhere. They're always going around in circles, always. Always analyzing the problems, never actually arriving at a solution because the solution is something new. So that urge to cultivate and nurture is beautiful, but you've got to allow newness and something new to then cultivate again. So you must have both. It's a famous story I've told you before about having a different mindset about when the trains were invented for the benefit of those who weren't here. In the shtetl, when the trains were first invented, there was a little yiddel who refused to believe that a wagon can be drawn without a horse. Right? Someone explained it to him, he says, no, he doesn't believe it. Until one day, the train arrived at the town, at the shtetl, first time, the tracks were built, the train arrived, and everyone came out to see it, and he says, I've got to look at this. So his friend takes him, and he looks at it, he says, where's the horse? He says, no, there's no horse. Right? So he says, how does it work? What do you mean, no horse? How do the wagons drive? So he says, because, I'll explain to you, there's a wagon, there's a fire, there's an energy, there's a locomotive, there's electricity, whatever the case is. He says, nah, now I understand. Thank you so much. And he starts looking at the thing, and he goes up to close to the train, and he's looking, and he goes behind, and he goes underneath, and he looks at the side, and looks at it. And he's looking, his friend says, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking, there must be at least a little horse. a claim of fatal, like all they did. Something. He couldn't get out of it. Couldn't move away. Right? Couldn't understand that there's a new way of looking at it. There's a new foundation. Let's wipe the whole thing clean. You know, very often it's the very female energy that creates the desire to grow and to cultivate relationships. It's the same energy that makes a person hang on to old problems, hang on to old baggage, harbor resentment, you know, but I mean, sometimes, you know, like you're resolving a conflict with someone, but and you bring out something the person did to you 47 years ago. But how could you, you know, move on, create a new page, leave behind the baggage. Sometimes you have to deal with stuff, but sometimes there's that newness that needs to come into it. Right? So newness, the newness is short-lived, you see. Commitment to newness, burst of inspiration is great, but it's short-lived. It then needs the female cultivation, the female nurturing. So personal growth, therefore, is one example of where most part of it is very female, and that's why we find that women are much more open to it, but actually requires both a male and female process for it to work, and that's something that both men and women, or both people who have the dominance of male or female, have to learn to access both, but both people contain both, and therefore ultimately we're both able to do both parts of the process, and to actually make something new out of it and make a success out of it. Well, it's a fair, but it's knowing how to create their foundation newness and then cultivating and then newness. That's what he's saying. It's like the first day of Pesach and then followed by the 49 days. I think. Just before we finish, I just wanted to, for the last time, first of all, report that to thank everyone who participated in the raffle. The raffle is going to be drawn this Monday night. We've done very, very well this year, much better than last year. However, in the last 3-4 days, there are still raffle tickets left. So all those that still want to hop around and buy more raffle tickets, please see Ms. Letterman at the office. And otherwise, I wish you all a great week and see you next week. Next week, we're going to talk about communication, I think, male and female communication.